The history of Arunachala Ashrama, a pilgrimage to Sri Arunachala in 1973, part 5, continued from the May-June 2017 issue. In our May-June 2017 issue of the Maharishi, we published part 4 of the history of Arunachala Ashrama. That part concluded with the founding of the Nova Scotia Arunachala Ashrama in 1972. We now continue with part 5, taking the reader along with the inmates of the ashrama on their first trip to Sri Ramanashramam in August of 1973. Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat always spoke directly, which gave no room for ambiguity when it came to those who wished to join the ashrama in Nova Scotia. He would make it clear that the ashrama was for those who were serious about the meaning and purpose of life. We believe in hard work, total devotion and dedication, and a single-minded commitment to the practice of the teachings of Sri Ramana Maharshi. This hard work point would dissuade most uncommitted young wanderers from venturing further into the ashrama life. There were many hippie-type seekers wending their way through a maze of gurus and ashramas in the 1970s. Consequently, those few aspirants who ultimately grasped the opportunity to do service and sadhana at Arunachala Ashrama were of the serious, dedicated type. Bhakta Bhagavat called himself a servant and servitor, a doorman and doormat of Sri Ramana Maharshi's ashrama. And this ideal not only appealed to the few earnest seekers who settled into the ashrama life, but inspired them to do likewise and dedicate their lives to God. In Nova Scotia, the ashrama residents were working night and day to make the new property, which was much in need of repairs, into a livable, comfortable home for the children of the master. In New York, the storefront ashrama was slowly attracting more seekers who would attend the evening recitation and meditation. Arunachala Bhagavat had not been back to India for more than 10 years. He longed to set his feet once again on the holy ground of Bharat Mata and place his head at the feet of his master and lord at the holy hill of the beacon light, Arunachala. He prayed to Bhagavan to take all his children dedicated to establishing his ashrama in the west to Sri Ramanashramam. But where were the funds to buy the tickets? There was hardly enough to maintain both the New York and Nova Scotia ashramas. In a miraculous manner, the required amount did materialize in August of 1973, and 7 pilgrims made their way to the sacred abode of Bhagavan Sri Ramana. In those days, Ramanashramam was still much like the quiet hermitage of old, separated from the town. The path around the mountain was still a dirt road, which was smooth and easy to tread barefoot. A good number of all the devotees who dedicated their lives to Bhagavan Ramana and the practice of his teachings were still residing in and around the Sri Ramanashramam. The explosion of seekers from the world over had not it happened. Sri Ramanashramam was still trading against a current of financial instability. The arrival of a small band of devotees from America who were set upon establishing the Maharishi's teachings and making known his mighty personality in the West was a matter of excitement to all at Ramanashramam. And the manner in which they arrived in the ashrama was quite unlike others from the West. With the enthusiasm of the Mahatma Gandhi South March, the new arrivals, holding the Arunachala Ashrama banner aloft, chanting with full throats, "Arunachala Ramana Maharishi Ki Jai," "Bhagavan Sri Ramana Maharishi Ki Jai," marched straight through the front gate, up the stairs and into the old hall with "Ki Jai" reverberating throughout the peace-laden grounds of the ashrama. This would have certainly attracted much attention, but for the fact that back then, when the morning pujas were over, the ashrama was nearly empty. Unmindful of the surroundings, this fervent group of seven devotees raised their voices from the depth of their hearts, which awakened within them the ancient slumbering blossoms of devotion. Arunachala Bhakta Bhagavat, Yogamayaji, Bhagavat's wife, their son Bhaskar, Evelyn Casillo, Dennis Hartle, and John and Matthew Greenblatt were warmly welcomed to the master's abode with an equal amount of enthusiasm by the president, Sri T.N. Venkatraman, and all the inmates of the ashrama. Group photos were taken and presents exchanged. The president, before Bhagavan's shrine of grace, presented the new arrivals with two large photos, hand-colored by Saidas. Till this day, 45 years later, these photos, one of Bhagavan and the other of Arunachala, adorn the altar of Sri Arunachala Ramana Mandiram in the Nova Scotia Ashrama. Elder devotees of the Master, like Vishwanath Swami, Kuju Swami, Sastri Mama, Ramaswami Pillai, N.N. Rajan, and others, would routinely regale the new pilgrims with their intimate and illuminating experiences of Bhagavan. Listening, the new arrivals felt that whom they spoke of was not buried, encased within a concrete box with a lingam installed overhead. No, he was right there before their very eyes, whispering the joyous secrets of self-realization directly into their open hearts. Of this visit, Evelyn Casillo writes in her diary, "The wonder that is Arunachala is indeed beyond all human expression. When we first came to Arunachala, it was for us a place of immense peace, but by the time we left, we knew it to be God Himself. We have heard frequently the saying, Kashi is the abode of Shiva, Kailas the abode of Shiva, but Arunachala is Shiva Himself." This we believed to be true from our own experience. Here, Arunachala has become for us a tidal wave of grace, light and peace in which nothing is required, but simply that we abide in stillness and humility. By coming to Arunachala, the devotee comes to the Lord Himself. Overwhelmed by the enthusiasm and support from all the inmates of Sri Ramanashramam, the pilgrims wended their way back to USA and Canada in late September 1973. This torrential flood of grace vouchsafed to them by Bhagavan left no doubt in their heart of hearts that he would take the work from them to establish his divine presence in the West. Yet many trials and hurdles to overcome awaited them. Continued in the November-December issue.